Tetzlan, we are up to the end of Perek Lamid Beis, the very end. We just have to do the summary. Okay, Perek Lamid Beis, towards the very end. Okay, so we did yesterday the last two psukim, those very beautiful psukim about the kinui. Just to read those last two psukim. Al no esaf neish. Just reviewing the last two psukim. Reading the last two psukim. We're not going to do it in detail. Just want to review. We learned yesterday the last two psukim. Al no esaf pneish. Vi el odom lo achane. Eve says, "I'm going to give you." Elihu. Elihu says, "I'm going to give you a response when I speak to you. I'm going to speak to you in direct terms. I will not favor you." And to a human being, I will not speak in descriptive terms. I will speak directly. Ki lo yodati achane, because I don't even know. Even if I would try to speak in descriptive terms, I would be unable to do so because I don't know how to do. We discussed yesterday that's not so simple because he did in the beginning of the parak when he described HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he criticized the three friends for not properly answering Eov, he says that you were Marshia, you declared guilty as Eov. And there we learned one of the, it's a Tikkun Seifim, really he was referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that he does know how to speak in descriptive terms when he wants, indirect terms. So that's why we had another interpretation of that, this last pasuk we had, we dwelt on yesterday very much, Ki lo yodati achaneh kimot, concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the one that I do speak in descriptive terms. With regard to the Hashem is described as the one as ki lo yodati. There's no way for a human being to fathom the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And concerning him, enochinami, achaneh him, I speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in descriptive terms. Only what I can understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu do I relate. Kim'at, just a small amount. And now I begin my speech, yisoeini oiseini, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the second interpretation, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive me if I'm about to say anything that's not proper when I respond to you, Eov, and I explain to you why you are suffering. Now we have to just do the summary. Let's take a look at Pasuk of Beis. Pasuk of Beis in the parentheses. Ho'ile me'hamane ha'hi. It's in the middle, in the Mitzudos David. What is the summary of this response? Asher Elihu yitein tam asher shosak adheina. First, Elihu explains why he has been silent all along. For all this period of time, he has not spoken up. Adheina ki bavu asher re'ei Eov ho'yu zekeinim menu liyam. Being that the friends of Eov are zikeinim imenu liyamim, because they're much older, lo arav libo lo geshes tadaber amorav, his heart was not pleased to come close and speak up, because it was disrespectful. Being that they are much older and he is younger, it's not respectful for a young man to speak up in the presence of the elders. Ki choshav ha-shebiroi v'shtadlus yusak ha-chochma. He mistakenly believed because he thought that being that these people are much older and they spend their entire lives pursuing wisdom, indeed they have been successful and they are wise men. They have spent their entire lives searching for wisdom. But now that he has seen that they have not been, that they have not succeeded in responding to him, and when everything was over, they stood still, they did not respond anymore. He no longer was able to withhold. Elihu now says to himself, I'm no longer able to withhold myself from speaking up. Now he says from now on, Yoshiv Amorim Bepe Mole, now I'm going to speak up, I'm going to respond, I'm not going to hold back. V'lo yachnif af lo yichane, and when I give a response to you, Eve, I'm not going to say lies, I'm not going to flatter Hashem, and I'm not going to speak to you indirectly, like what the three friends, your three friends have done. Your three friends, one of the accusations accusations that Eve made against his three friends, that they're flatterers. Eve accused his three friends of lying because they were afraid for their own lives. They were afraid to criticize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Eve said that you, my three friends, Eliphaz, Sofar, Bildad, you really know that I'm right and Hashem is guilty, but you don't want to admit it because you are afraid that if you go and you criticize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will bring upon you suffering just like he has done to me. So for your own benefit, for your own self-interest, you lie. And the way one, it's the term that's used to refer to lying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this context is flattering, is flattery. When you flatter, you're lying. But it's not. It's a very sophisticated type of lie. I'm flattering HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to gain something. What do I want to gain? I want to gain my own protection, my own my protection, that I should not suffer. So that was one of the big accusations that Eve had against his three friends. Here, Elihu says, I am not going to do that. Eve was right that his friends were flattering Kadosh Baruch Hu because the response that they gave was incorrect. And therefore, Elihu says, I'm not going to go following that pattern. I'm not going to flatter Hashem, and I'm not going to go speak in indirect terms. I have nothing to hide. I'm going to speak directly to you. Okay, so that is the long introduction of Elihu. And now, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, he begins.
Knew more, but held back.
Well, that's subject to interpretation. According to the words of the Mitzudos, he's using the word Yechanef. He does seem to say that that's so. He does seem to give legitimacy to Eve's complaint, accusation against the three friends. That the three friends really deep down knew that Eve is a tzaddik and he does not deserve to suffer. And the only reason why they're making believe and they're trying to tell the world that Eve is a rasha, is done averos, is because they want to protect themselves and their own families. Because Hashem is infinite. If Hashem wants, Hashem will strike down the three friends just like what he has done to Eve. So that's a pretty strong accusation, and the way the Mitzvah seems to interpret, read into the words of Elihu, he seems to give some legitimacy to this idea as well. Now we begin Paraglam. Again, we begin another response. For Ulam Shmano Eve Miloi. Eve now says, Elihu says now as follows. Ulam, however, Shmano, listen, Eiv, miloy my words, v'chol divarai hazinan, pay close attention to all of my words. Now, in their art scroll, Rabbi Eisenman, he has a very beautiful idea. I'm not sure if it's his own or he's quoting someone. He takes note that all of the three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Sofar, when they criticized and when they addressed Eiv, they never called him by his name. They just spoke to him. Going to the doctor's office, the doctor is a cold-blooded physician, and you tell him your symptoms, and he just says, "This is my diagnosis, and this is what you have, and that's it. This is the solution, or there is no solution." He was impersonal. They were impersonal. The Elihu is the first one that actually, when he speaks to Eve, he speaks with sympathy. And the way you express sympathy is you speak to the person, you call him by his name. Your name is Moshe, so you say, Moshe, I looked over your x-rays, I looked over your labs, and this is what the situation is. When you call a person by their name in a conversation, even though it's obvious who you're speaking to, there's no one else in the room but that person, but you actually say that person's name, that is an expression of sympathy. And that's exactly what Eve was looking for all along. Eve is suffering. He wants someone to have empathy for him, to sympathize with him. And here, for the first time, Elihu is actually showing sympathy by calling him by his first name. It's a very powerful idea. Because you have to... The reason why I say it's powerful is because Elihu... Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, because Elihu's this response that continues for the next 10 parakim or a little bit less, it's not really clear in how he differs. Thank you very much. It's not clear how he differs. How he differs then? No, you can just put it right by the wall there. It has the battery. Just can turn on you by the yes.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. Okay. For me, it's good. I get a psychological. Just, can you turn on the button? Just put the button on. Turn on the button. It's battery powered. For me, it makes a difference. It's fine. Okay. Okay. Like, just like that. Okay. Psychological. It's all. It's all psychological. Okay. It's gonna be. We're gonna have a very difficult time in the next couple of prokim understanding how Elio is different than the three friends. Okay, we're going to try to show obvious differences, obviously. In the few sukkim, we're right away going to come to some very obvious difference. And Mitzudas really brings it out very clearly, but it's not 100% clear. Every little mashahu that we can extract, every single small part that we can extract to find the difference between Eliyahu and the three friends is significant in understanding why Chazal consider Eliyahu to have the final word on this matter. I don't think we can appreciate how important this person is, because the question of Tzadik Viralo Rasha V'toivloi is the age-old question which Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini no es kevodecha. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was the question. Show me your honor, which Chazal read into that question. Let me understand why do tzaddikim suffer and Rishon prosper. And Hashem said to Moshe, I'm not going to tell you the answer. Ve'isa es achorai uponai lo yeru'u. You can see me from the back, but you can't see me from the front, which basically means, maybe in hindsight you will be able to understand, but as things happen in real time, there is no way for a person to know the answer to that question. And yet, here we have the answer. Eev is the question. Eev's life is the question, Tzadik V'ra'lo. And Elihu is the answer. The three friends failed. At the end of the Sefer Eev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized the three friends, which is a clear statement that the three friends were wrong. But Elihu is not criticized. Elihu speaks up. Eev does not speak back, does not respond to Elihu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not criticize Elihu, which leads many Rishonim, specifically the Ramban, to believe that Elihu does indeed give us the final word on the matter, an explanation of a good explanation. So where is the explanation? It's very difficult to really extract. But every little bit of information that we can glean is important. And the first and very interesting thing to see is his approach. The approach in dealing with Eev is to say the words, he calls him by his first name, which is an expression of sympathy. Let's take a look at the Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos David. V'ulam shmano, ratzulaymar. Right, he's giving him more introduction. Do not think that I'm going to give a long speech, and don't be tuned off by my long speech. Since my words are very long, long-winded words, what I'm going to say is not going to make any sense. And you, Eev, might be inclined to think, what benefit is there listening to you more than the three friends who attempted to answer my question? Ki ulam, to that Elihu says, no, I indeed have better things to say. Shma atamili v'eskulam hazino, listen to my words and hear me out. Do not interrupt me until I complete my entire speech. The altakot spochem, and do not detest them liribuyam, due to their length. Kilo divrei rei kema, my words are not empty words. My words will make a lot of sense. So that's the first pasuk. Ulam, however, Shmana Eiv Miloy, listen to my words. V'chol divarai hazina, he's emphasizing, v'chol divarai, I'm warning you, I have a lot to say, and do not interrupt until I am finished. Pasuk Beis. Hine no posachti, I have now opened up. No means now. Sometimes no means please. Sometimes no means now. Here it means now. Hine behold no now. Posachti pi, I have opened up my mouth. Dibro l'shoni b'chiki, and my tongue speaks with my palate. It's an expression which means I have a lot to say. Words are going to flow forth. Pasuk based on the Mitzvot Sinei No. Ato now. No means now. does not mean in this context, please, but now. Eftach pi, I open my mouth. Behold now, right? So no means now. Ato, now eftach pi, I will open my mouth. Ume atzmo tadabe l'shoni, and I will open my mouth. All I have to do is open my mouth, and automatically the words will flow freely from my mouth because they have been arranged. My words have been arranged in my mind for a long time, and it will easily come forth. Just by touching the palate, just by my tongue touching the palate, it will flow. Like the way people speak, he means to say, I have already arranged what I want to say, and my lips will quickly give forth speech of clarity, words of clarity, without any stammering and stuttering. The words will come out. It's like a tape recorder. I've given this shiur,
a prepared statement.
I've given this shiur 1,000 times. It's just like a tape recorder. So a professor once told me that he's giving this course already for 30 years. He doesn't prepare one word before he walks into the classroom. He says he just walks in. It's like a tape recorder. He could do it in his sleep. Doing 30 years, you don't have to prepare anymore. Pasa gimel. Yoyishar libi amorai. What?
As long as it doesn't sound like that.
Maybe it did.
You're getting the latest information.
The latest information. Well, so, some things never change. I know, like, even in computers, I used to teach in Brooklyn College, there are certain courses, they never change. It's amazing. Even though technology changes, some of the concepts, operating systems or architecture, like these are like the basic courses, like the basic entry-level courses. I've no doubt now that teaching the operating systems course,
40 years
is word for word architecture. Not architecture. I'm not talking about modern day motherboard. I'm not talking about high tech new computers. I'm talking about the basic architecture course. Nothing changed. Really, nothing changed. Even some of the programming courses, the basic elementary programming courses, do they really teach anything different now? Even though the languages have changed,
they don't teach
more. What? It could be they do it. I mean, it could be there's a course called programming languages. They teach you like 5-6 languages. I don't know for sure, but when I was there, well, not so long ago, they were still teaching Fortran as part of the programming languages course, because they want to give you a taste. They want to show you the concepts are the same throughout all the different languages, and it's just so. Okay, fine. But he's saying over here, the Tzadok is saying what I'm about to say over here is prepared. It's a prepared statement. It's going to be very easy. Pasuk Gimel. Yoyishar libi amoroi. The Yoyishar libi amoroi. The uprightness of my heart or my words, v'dasif osai baru milelu, are clear. Okay, that's a hard word to translate literally, and that's why the Mitzudas actually apologizes for us. And he says, you don't translate this pasuk in order, you have to change the words around to make sense. Pasuk Mitzudas. Yosh libi amorai, hine, behold, amorai, hema, beyosh halev. The words I'm about to say, so it's better, you have to read backwards. Notice he's translating the words backwards. Amorai, amoroi, my words are going to be said with uprightness. They are emes. Amoroi, hema b'yosher halev. V'loi b'dvar sifosayim, it's not going to be lip service. Lahatois ularamos, not to deceive. What I'm saying is emes. Next, the next part of the pasuk. V'das sifosayim borur milelu. So how do we translate those words? So here he actually says, hu hipuch. Don't attempt to translate these words in order. You have to turn the words around backwards. Hipuch, turn it around backwards to make sense of this expression. Kimo, take the words, vidas barur, take this first word, then take the third word, vidas barur, clarity, das barur sifosai, svosai mileli. See how he translates the pasuk? You take word one. No, he says there are four words. There are four words. The das sifosai barur milelu. So he says you translate it as das barur sifosai milelu. Clear knowledge will my lips speak. See, this pasuk is a great mashal. This is a great mashal for the entire Nevi'im Achronim. Never read the pasuk in Nevi'im Achronim in order. You have to take the words. It's a puzzle, and you have to rearrange the words, translate the words. So you have then the both parts of this pasuk. There are two parts. Yoishalibi Amoroi. Read it backwards. Amoroi Yoishalibi. Next, V'das Sifasai Bar Milelu. Read it. V'das Barur Sifasai Milelu. If that's how you read Psukim in Nevi'im Achronim and in Ksuvim. My lips will express clear knowledge. It will be clean from any mistake. The kafal hadavah b'milashonis. The two parts of the pasuk really are exactly the same thing, just different words. Rashi dalad daruach. That's the next pasuk. Pasuk dalad ruach kel. And this goes back to Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis is where Eve said that wisdom does not come from age. Don't be misled to believe that just because you're old, you have life experience, you're wise. Wisdom comes from a spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atochonein la'odam dasum lamei l'nashmina choneinu me'iticha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us from within Him. There must be some spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive knowledge. And the knowledge, the two words He used in Perek Lamed Gimel were the Neshama and the Ruach. And that's exactly what He's doing here. He says here, the Ruach Kel Ososni, the Spirit of God has created me. Here, the Metzudah is going to translate very little, means the will. Ruach something means the desire. Okay, for our purpose, it's really the same thing for now. The Nishma Shakai and the Neshama of God, Tichayeni, has given me life. Again, going back to Perek Lamed Beis, he's basically saying, I have the tools. Your three friends, Bildad, Eliphaz, Tzofar, they do not have a pure Ruach. They do not have a pure Neshama. They have old age. They are Yeshishim. They are elders. But I've proven to you that Yeshishim does not mean you are wise. You need the Ruach and the Neshama. In Perek Lamed Beis, I just expressed that they do not have it. I'm telling you now that I got it. I got the goods, and I'm going to deliver. Pasuk Dal in Mitzudos, the Ruach Kel, very little, similar to translation means the will. It was Hashem's will, His desire, that I should come into existence, and His Neshama is continuously sustains me. Ruach Ratzon HaKel Boroisi, He created me. Umam Arpiv, and the words of His mouth, Tichayeni, continues to allow me to exist. Umutul Imkein Olai Liton Avur LaHatzigo, and therefore, Mitzvah is eating over here in an expression, I have a duty. It is my duty to tell you the answer to your problem. Many people, they say, you mind your own business. I have a solution, but you know, who cares? Why should I go and exert myself to provide let people know a solution to the problem? What is in it for me? Am I going to get paid? I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting any benefits. So too bad for you. Here, Elihu is saying, I'm a moral person. If I have a solution, even though there's no benefit for me, it's my moral duty to provide you with a solution just due to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu created me and sustains me. That is enough of a reason for me to contribute, to give something back to this world. Rashi says, Ruach Kel Asosani, the desire of God has made me. V'eini Chozog Yoyser Mimeka. Now, Rashi is doing something. Rashi is leading us into the next few psukim. The Mitzudas did not do this. In the next few psukim, Eve is going to, Elihu is going to express an idea, and it's going to span a few psukim. And he's going to refer back to the conversation that he overheard between Eve and the three friends. Eve complained many times that he wants to have a din Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want my day in court with Hashem. And then Eve always said, but you know, who says it's such a good idea? I want a day in court with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if I would actually go and sit in a courtroom, on the other side of the room would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would be terrified. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and being in His presence is is a terrifying experience, I would not be capable of opening up my mouth and presenting my arguments. I would be terrorized. So what's the purpose? What's the point of going to a court of law and taking Hashem to a din Torah? I couldn't express myself in such a situation.
That's so, when he acted judge as well.
Well, no, not necessarily. That's what evil is demanding. Evil is in there should be a third party to act as judge. Hashem should not be the judge. Let there be another judge. And let HaKadosh Baruch Hu be one of the Baalei Dinim, and we'll go to court. But just the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present is something which would automatically force... Will intimidate me, I would not be able to express myself. Okay, correct. It also alludes to some of the language over here also fits well. So here... Here Eliyahu is saying, guess what, Eev? I'm gonna be Hashem's lawyer. That's right, let's make believe now we're going to go to a court of law and you'll take Hashem to a din Torah, but Hashem's not gonna come. Hashem, because Hashem would intimidate you, so Hashem won't come. I will represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Me, I'm just the boss of Adam. I'm just like you. You're not afraid of me. You're not afraid of me, so you can say whatever you want to say. You don't have to be intimidated to be afraid, and I will give you Hashem's response. Not like your three friends, Eliphaz, Sofar, and Bildad, who gave that nonsense, who didn't have anything good to say, and that's why you rejected them, we wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, I'm going to give you the real answer. And don't be, and if you don't like the real answer, he's going to say this, and if you don't like the real answer, speak up. Let's debate it. And no longer are you going to be afraid, intimidated, because Hashem's not coming. I'm his representative. I'm just the boss of Adam, and you have nothing to be afraid of. There are different levels in Echanami. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds himself back. He's mitzamsim himself. He hides himself in order for man to exist. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would reveal himself, man could not exist. Hashem is mitzamsim himself. Let's go further. So this is what Rashi says. Not what the Mitzvah says, because Rashi already is taking Pasuk Dalit, and Pasuk Dalit is leading into the next Pesukim, where even the Mitzvahs will agree that's the theme. Let's get a better taste by going into Pasuk Hey. In Tuchal Hashiveini, here in Pasuk Hey, Eliyahu explicitly says to Eov, if you can, after I respond, after my long-winded response that's going to go on for the next number of Prokim, if you can, speak up, Hashiveini, speak back to me, Erchol Lefonai, arrange, be mesader, arrange your words, your complaint, your rebuttal, your response before me, his yatsova, and stand firm. Don't be afraid, stand firm and present any counter argument you have to my response. Let's say, look, Pasuk Hey, Mitzvah Dastavid. If you have a response, something to respond, alma moroi hashiveni, albeit good for you, respond. Orcho aroich ta'anoisecho lefanai, arrange your complaint against me, v'syatsev lemuli, and stand before me with strength to respond. Rotzolayma kol masha tuchal lehoshiv emor, speak. Now, let's see pasuk vav. Why? Why am I saying this to you? Because I am aware, back in the previous prokim, you were afraid to take Hashem to a din Torah because you would be intimidated. But from me, you're not intimidated. Hein ani kificha. I'm just like you. I am just like your mouth. Kificha, like your mouth, lokel, in response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I am going to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I have a human mouth. And a human mouth will not terrify you, will not intimidate you to be afraid to respond. Mechomer koratzti gam oni. Koratzti means to be fashioned. I have been fashioned from clay. Chomer is clay from earth. Gam oni, also me, just like you. Just like you are a human being, I'm also a human being. So you have nothing to be afraid of. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present in the court of law, then you would be afraid. But for me, you don't have to be afraid of. My mouth, who is going to represent Kel, is kificha, is like your mouth. And my body has come from clay, earth, just like you, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Let's say, look, Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos. Ani keficho lokel hinani nishbat imach. I will argue with you ba'avur hokel, in place of God. Kimaimer picha, like the words of your mouth, shamarta. Kimaim picha means going back to what you've said back in the previous psukim. Shamarta lo ish kamoni. What was your complaint? Your complaint was Hashem is not an ish kamoni, enenu that will enenu that will respond. Novo yachta b'mishpat Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We have to hear the word lo. This is quoting a pasuk, and the pasuk in this pasuk you have to repeat the word lo. Hashem is not lo novo yachta b'mishpat Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not willing to come with me to court. Ata now he says, Eliyahu says, hinni ish kamocha. I am a man just like you. Ki mechomer koiratzti gam oni. I have been fashioned gam oni kmo from clay. Gam oni kmo ato like you, and there's nothing for you to be afraid of. So. No, ish kamocha, like you, like Eov. Like Eov. Eliyahu is saying, I am a human being, and Eov, you are a human being. We're two people, not Hashem. And therefore, I am kificha, I will be kificha lokel in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I take it back. According to the Mitzudos, it seems, one more time the words, hinani nishbari mach ba'avur hakel. According to the Mitzudos, it seems that when it says over kificha, kificha means, I translate it to you, that my mouth is just like your mouth. No, that's not what it says. Kificha means according to your desire, according to your complaint. You issued a complaint way back. Where? In Perek Tes. Back in Perek Tes, you issued a complaint and you said, I want to take Hashem to a Din Torah. But I can't, because I take Hashem to a Din Torah, even if he would come, I would be intimidated. That was your complaint. That was the words of complaint that came out of your mouth, Eov. I now am giving you a solution to that complaint that came out of your mouth. Kificha, according to your complaint, I have a solution. I will be Hashem's representative. And being that I am only a human being, you have nothing to be afraid of. I'm an ish, gam oni, I've been fashioned from clay, and therefore you can argue and you can debate and everything will be fine and good. You have nothing to hold you back. Rashi, Pasuk Vav, hein ani kificha lekel, kemoy sheshal picha. Just like you requested, your mouth made a request, lehisvakech, to debate, leni shalo yiva asecha, to debate a being that would not terrify you. So guess what? Your request has been granted. Hein ani b'mekoymoy shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. I will be in his place. Uvishviloy ledaber devarav. I will serve in his first purpose in order to respond to your arguments. Pretty powerful stuff. Okay, a person is making believe that he represents the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, well, how many rabbanim do that? They'll tell you, I'll tell you what's right, I'll tell you what's wrong. Okay, this is pretty powerful stuff for him to speak like this. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Hine, emosi lo, here he actually expressed this in much more detail. Hine, behold, emosi lo siva aseka. My fear, the fear of me will not terrify you, because I'm not a scary person. I'm a nice guy, says Elihu. The achpi, achpi means my force. Achpi means you take your fist, your kaf, and you bang, and you tie someone up, you hit someone. My power, my achbi means my power, olech upon you, lo yichbad, will not weigh down heavy. Meaning, I'm a weakling. I have no power. I'm not aggressive. I'm just a regular guy. I'm a regular guy, so you have nothing to... I don't look scary, and I don't have any weapons. I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to harm you. Pasuk Zayin the Mitzudos. Hinei mosti lo tia nirat. Mipachti, you will not be terrified from my fear, from the fear of looking at me. Lihi sotem ta'anosecha, to hold back your complaints. The achpi hakefia v'hanegisha mimeni, the power v'hanegisha mimeni from me. Lo yichbar alecha, any form of power that I have will not weigh down upon you. Rotzal emar ein li chayzek alecha ki kamoicha. There is no I am not more powerful than you, like you are, like me. I don't have. I will not. What?
No hold
over you. Okay, pasig. Okay, Rashi says it's just very quick. Rashi says zayin viachmi means the same thing. It means kifiyasi, my force. This that I can force you, kemo akaf olav pihu, I will force upon him olav my mouth, my pihu, my complaint. There also means force. Pasig ches. Now here he goes. Ach a. Now here is really where he begins to at least to dissect the nature of Eov's argument. He Elihu says, I've heard what you said. I have been in the audience all along, and ach certainly omarta, what you have said, the thesis, your thesis, the oznoi has reached my ears. The kol milin and the sound of milin of the words, your complaint, eshmo, I have heard. You don't have to repeat yourself. You don't have to tell me what your complaint is. I know. I've read the report. I was present. I've been following all along. I know what you want to say. And what do you want to say? Let's read the next pasuk. What is the essence of your complaint? Zach ani. You, Eve, have claimed that you are zach. You are innocent. You are pure. Belief fesha, without any sin. Belief fesha. Chaf anochi. The word chaf means scrubbed clean. Chafifa. When a woman goes to mikvah, she has to chafifa. She has to scrub her body to make sure there's no chatzitza. So you claim that your soul has been scrubbed from any mashu of sin. The law of only, and there is no sin in me. So we have four expressions. Zach, belief fesha, chaf. Four ways of explaining, I don't have any taint of sin. This is what you have claimed all along, and therefore you are crying, it's not fair for me to suffer. Let's read one more pasuk. Hain tinuos olai yimsa. You have claimed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has found tinuos. Tinuos means an excuse. Hashem has searched for excuses to torture you. Hain behold tenuos, excuses or lie upon me. He's personifying Eov. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been searching excuses against me, yimsa, to find and to legitimize, to justify the fact, the torture. Yachshiveni lo'oyev loy. HaKadosh Baruch has considered me to be an enemy to him. Okay, let's take a look at these Pesukim in the Mesudas Pasuk Ches. Ach amarto v'oznoi ko'imer. This means to say, im lo dibarto elai, even though you have never spoken. Elihu says to you, we've never said one word to each other. I don't know you from Adam. I never met you, so when I start speaking up, you're going to say to me, who are you? How dare you enter into this conversation when I don't even know who you are? So Elihu, he tries to disarm. Eov says, I know you don't know who I am, but I've been following your matzah very carefully, very closely. I'm in on all the details. Although you have not spoken to me, you've only had engaged your friends in conversation, ach, nevertheless, be'oznoi, in my ears, boho, it has come the matter, v'shamata gamoni, I've also heard every single detail about your situation. V'kol milin, kol hadvorim ba'alma nibli haskel, and I've heard your words. Your words are, he's trying to insult him, it seems. V'kol milin eshma, the sound of words I have heard. Words, the sound of words, Boma, without sense. The things that you are saying do not make any sense. Now, what are the things that you're saying that do not make any sense? Pasuk Tes, Chof Anochi. What have you claimed evil along? Minuke ani me'ovan. I am cleaned from sin. For who kofal, and he repeats this theme four times in this pasuk. For kofal b'miloy shaynes. Pasuk Yud. What else have you said Eov? Hein behold tenuos hine motzalai alilois devarim. Hashem has found excuses.
Or better, pretexts.
The Choshev Oisi Lo L'Oyev. He has considered me an enemy. Ki'ilu Yinkoim Bi And for that reason, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking revenge. But I didn't do anything. You take revenge against a person who has done you harm. I have not done any harm. So this revenge Hashem is taking is not true. It's not deserved. Pei Rashi, Pasik Ches Chof Tohar. Chof is a word for Tohar. Umishuf Shuf, scrubbed clean. Kimo Nazir Lo Yachaf Rosh, a Nazir is not allowed to scratch his head because he may cause hair to fall out. A Nazir may not shave, take a haircut during his term of Nazirus, therefore he's not allowed to scrub his head. Uchmoi Bechol Chofin Esakilim, you can scrub on Shabbos utensils, all different types of materials, because there's no prohibition in doing so. V'chol chofen, you can use all the types of things to scrub a utensil. So it means scrub. Okay, pasik tenuos. Next word of Rashi, alilois. Pretexts, lashon tuuna is an excuse. Lashuv menamokom. Another here, it's used in the same way. Pasik yud aleph. Yah, same. What else?
If chof means clean.
Chav means to scrub clean. It means
scrub clean. What does it mean in the Megillah? Avail b'chafui brosh.
Chafui means avail means cover. There means covered. So maybe it means that when you take a shmat on your head, it's like it's scrubbing your head. When you cover your head in shame,
unless it's one of those words that means the opposite.
The chafui rosh, does it mean they're exposed or covered? If I remember, there's machlekes. So there are two different opinions. Avel the chafui rosh. Does it mean that he covered his head, or does it mean that he exposed? In your morning, you take off your head covering. If I'm not mistaken, there's machlokes. There are two different perushim of chafui rosh: to cover your head in shame, or to expose your head in shame. So I don't know the answer. Let's leave it with that. Okay. So chaf there, if it means to cover, maybe it means that you're covering. It means that it's rubbing. It's rubbing. Chaf does not mean to wash. Chaf means to rub. It's used in the context of cleansing, because when you cleanse, you have to rub something against the skin. So when you take a cover and you press it tightly against your head to cover your shame, it's also an expression of rubbing. Okay, now pasuk yod alfis continue. I think it's one more pasuk where he personifies Eiv and he expresses the essence of Eiv's complaint. Yosem basad ragloi. We had this before. Asad. Asad is some type of ancient. A restraint for the feet. Then, ancient times, they would take a prisoner. They would put a prisoner in a mold. They would chain, like today. They put a prisoner in prison. They have handcuffs. So they, in those days, they put the feet. Not only were the hands put in restraints. It's called stock. No, it's more than that. It's stock. It's like a mold where you put your feet and they lock up your feet. So here, Yoshev Basad, a stock, Yoshev Basad Ragloi, Hashem has taken my feet and locked them up in this sad. Yishmor Kol Orcho Soy, he has guarded my footsteps. Everything I do, he looks close to me, he's looking for trouble. Hashem is looking to make trouble for me by guarding my footsteps. I'm on his watch list. This is the essence of your complaint. The apostle Yud in the Mitzvah of the Mitzvah Yosem Basad, some raglai b'chavli eitzim, in some type of stock, these chains of wood, segudim. V'oid hoisiv lishmas kol orchosai, he guards my every step. Lebal evrach, I cannot, so I do not escape. Im ki ragli segudim, even though I'm locked up, I'm not going anywhere. Even though I'm not going anywhere, he still has guards protecting me, guarding me, make sure I don't escape. The ef shali leches, and I can't go. Doesn't matter. Hashem still wants to make sure I don't go anywhere. V'ratzlam, what is the essence? What does this mean? What's the meaning of this mashal? Harbe olai mich oivos. He has tortured me. He has brought upon me multiple forms of pain. Ad beli die to no end. V'ne hadvam o'ela shamati. So this is the conclusion of Elihu's. A summary of the complaint. This is the abstract, right? This is the abstract of the report. Vine hadvan mo'ela shamati oischa medaber. So he apologizes to Eiv. I know you don't know me. You never met me before, but I'm familiar with your case. And let me. The essence of your complaint is you're a tzaddik. You claim that you're a tzaddik. It's an olam, and a kadosh baruch who is torturing you for no reason. Now here he begins. Here finally, after this long introduction, which spanned already a perek, almost two parakim, finally now he begins to open up and start saying things. Pasuk Yud Beis. Elihu, hen, behold, hen. Zos lo tzodakta. You're not correct. He's very direct. He's very blunt. He's true to his word. I'm not going to speak in descriptive terms. I'm not going to talk about other people and you should figure out. I'm telling you, hey and behold, Zos, with regard to this, that you're being punished for no reason with regard to your entire thesis, lo tzodakta. You're not right. You're wrong. You're wrong. And therefore, neko, and I will respond to you. I will respond to you and showing that you're making a big mistake. Ki yirbe eloka me enosh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than man. Now what does that mean? Hashem is greater than man. Let's take a look at the mitzvot. He elaborates. It's a very harp song. Hein zos. Ratzalayma.
Excuse me, Eliyahu and Eliyahu, they would understand this word that they tell each other?
They're speaking to each other. Well, I understand.
They could understand these words. For them, it was clear.
They were very clear. What Eliyahu says is very clear for himself. He knows what he's saying, certainly. And Eliyahu got it. Eliyahu understands very clearly what Eliyahu is saying. Let's take a look what this pasuk means. Pasuk Yud Beis. Ratzulaymar, hine, zos asher e'eneko. The following. Again, what he's doing over here is he's taking the words and he's putting them in a different order. Okay, you know, notice the Mitzvot, he loves to do that. He takes the words, it says Zos, and he right away skips the words Lo Tso Dakta. He skips those words and he jumps the words Enecha. Hine Zos Asher Enecha. The following matter that I will respond is Shaloi. What is it? What is the essence of what I'm going to tell you? Now we go backwards in the Pasuk. I'm going to tell you Lo Tso Dakta. You are wrong. You are wrong. Your analysis of the situation is incorrect. Shaloi titztak bitar umosecha. You are not righteous in your complaint. Who? Al ki why? Ki yirbe eloka b'malah minho enosh. Because first thing we have to make it very clear before we begin is Hashem is not equivalent to a human being. This is the first mistake that you are making. You are judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he is a human being. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's set of rules are equal to the rules of man. And just like we go to a court of law, you take to a court of law another human being, there are certain rules, whatever rules apply to you, apply to me, it has to be fair. That's your first mistake. You obviously acknowledge that Hashem is a God. He created the world. His power is infinite. But you are still limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the set of rules, playing by the rules of man. No, you have to understand, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is infinite, His rules are different. That's your first mistake. Hashem is not a man. Shaloi Titztak ki al ki yarbe eloka b'malim, al ki yarbe eloka b'malim in enosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above man. Ve'im ho'ish hasholem einem mevakesh alilos. If a human being does not seek pretexts, if a human being is not corrupt, kol sheken hamokoim Baruch Hu asher yigdal me'od mimalos avos, is even greater than the greatest man that ever existed, referring to the avos. Uch oimer, I mean to say, what do I mean to say with these words? Lo oshev l'cha, I'm not going to answer you, respond to you, kimo sheshivu re'echa, like your friends, your three friends do their response. Shloi titztak ba'avur ki atam mole avon. What was the thesis of the three friends? They were of the opinion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates by the same set of rules. They agree with you. And being that they do, Hashem has the same set of rules, it's either Hashem is right or you're right. What did they choose to do? They chose to flatter Hashem and say Hashem is right, and that must mean that you, Eev, you are not titztak, you are a sinner. I'm not going to do that. Okay, this is really critical. This is where Eliyahu is deviating, at least according to the Mitzvot, with the three friends. I agree with you, Eev. I agree with you 100% that you are a tzaddik. You are a tzaddik, Yisrael Olam. You don't have any mashu, any microscopic speck of sin. You are 100% righteous. But nevertheless, Hashem is also right for bringing upon you suffering. That's the difference. That's where we're switching tracks. I'm not going to answer you. That you, Eve, you're not righteous. That you're a sinner. No, I disagree with your friends. You are really a tzaddik. Nevertheless, even though you're a tzaddik, you are still wrong for complaining against Kadosh Baruch Hu. As he's going to explain now below in the next few parakim in great detail, the mana hazos, and this mana, where that specific part begins with the words choshavta lemishpat. Those are a few psukim down the line. We're going to come to psukim choshavta lemishpat. He's going to express the idea in much more detail. But here is the yisod. The yisod is going back to read the pasuk inside one more time. Hem zos loitzah. So, Dr. Eneka, but the following thing I'm going to tell you that you are not correct in complaining against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Ki yirbe eloka me'enosh, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than man, and if man would not, a righteous, ethical, moral individual would not look for pretexts against another human being, certainly that much more so, Kadosh Baruch Hu would not look to find excuses to make trouble for you. In other words, what he just said back in the previous Pasuk Yud, it seems to be saying, according to the Mitzvot, to reject exactly what it says in Pasuk Yud. In Pasuk Yud, he said, Hein tenuos olai yimtza. Yachshaveni lo'oyev lo. Seemingly, this is exactly what he's coming to reject. That is wrong. If a human being would not look for pretexts against another human being, Alachas Kamvakama Kadosh Baruch Hu would not do so against you. And therefore, you're making a big mistake. And let's see Pasuk Yudbeis in Rashi. Ki yarbe eloka me'enosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than man. Ein hamokam tzorich kol kach ledaktik achar adam. Hashem does not need to be medact after a person. Ki harbe yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzedokos yoseh me'enosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzedokos has much greater righteous things. I don't know what this, I have no idea what this means.
Righteousness
than man. I have no idea what this means. You know, anyone can explain to me what this means? Ein hamokom tzoch kol kach ledaktik achar ha'odom. Ki harbe yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzedokos yoseh me'enosh. Okay, I'm clueless on what this means. I could translate the words, but what Rashi?
He's busy.
What does it mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu? I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Madua Elov Rivosa. Why have you quarreled against Kadosh Baruch Hu? Ki chol devarav lo yane. Okay, here already is very heavy duty stuff. Now, there are many different ways to translate to understand these words. Rav Schwab has some amazing ideas. But first, we have to really do what it says in the Mitzudos. So one thing at a time. Look at Pasuk Gimel in Mitzudos. Madua elav rivos. Why have you quarreled? Madua ta'anta lemula. Why have you complained to Hashem? Ala shelo yane lo adam. Allah shelo yane lo adam kol devarav. Lots of rotsulaymar. Your part of your complaint was lo yigal oizen ha adam bemech chata v'asham. Your complaint was, why does Hashem tell me what I've done wrong? You're frustrated all along. Hashem, speak up. Speak to me. Tell me what I did wrong and I'll do tshuva. And Hashem refuses to express himself. Hashem does not reveal to the ear of man what they have sinned, in order that man should desist, he should do tshuva. This is what you, Eve, said back in the beginning of the Sefer. Pishi v'chatosi hodieni. Hashem, tell me my sins. So according to the Mitzudos, the end of the pasuk is what is basically a quotation or a synopsis of what Eov has been saying all along. And Elihu is saying, Eov, how dare you say that? Madu elav rivosa. Eov, How dear? Why do you complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the words? What are your words? Let me replay for you the tape recorder. Let me play back for you what you have said in the beginning of the Sefer. Ki chol devarav lo yeoneh. Hashem does not reply to all of my words. Chol devar means the words of Eov. Eov has complained to Hashem, tell me what did I do wrong? Tell me what I have sinned. Respond to me. And if you'll respond to me, I'll know what to do. I'll know how to fix it, and I won't suffer anymore. You're frustrated. This was the complaint that you have expressed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he goes on to say, Pasuk Yud Dalit, he replies, Elihu ki va'achas yedaber kel uveshtayim lo yeshurena. Do you know why Hashem has not responded to you? It's because sometimes Hashem speaks in one language with achas, one method, uveshtayim, and sometimes Hashem speaks with a second approach to the person that is lo yeshurena, does not see the answer in the first approach. Now, what does that mean? The reason why Hashem did not answer you is because lo kenu, Hashem did answer you. You just didn't get the message. Hine lo kenu ki hakel yedaber beinyan achas. Hashem does speak. Hashem does reply to a person in a method, through a method. And if the person doesn't get the message, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu shifts gears and he replies and he speaks to a person in a different method. The Ode, furthermore, Be'inyin Sheni Lemi Asher Lo Yireno Es HaRishon V'lo Yavin Ba, and doesn't understand it. Okay, this is very, very deep and very, very, the Mitzvah here is very difficult. What he's saying is, the first part of your complaint is, Hashem does not speak to me. Hashem is speaking to you. Hashem maybe doesn't speak to you with words, but Hashem speaks to you with actions. Hashkacha Pratis. Look around in front of you, what's happening, and interpret the events, the hashkacha, the events that are occurring in front of you. This is Hashem's response. And if you don't get it the first time, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to do things and respond to you in different methods until you finally understand it. This is the way the Mitzvah learns the translation of the Pashuk. Now, we're going to have to stop here, but let me just tell you a little bit about Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab is a very, very different interpretation. I'm not sure where he's getting his basing interpretation, but he says that the word Kichol Devarav Lo Ya'aneh is not a quotation of Eov. It's not a replay from the record of what Eov says, but rather is part of Elihu's response. And the response is a key word according to Rav Schwab. The key word is chol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki chol devarav lo ya'aneh. A person is incapable of understanding everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's touching upon something very, very deep. The reason why man is so frustrated in understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga is because most of the time it makes sense. When you look around in this world, ruba de ruba, you understand. I understand. I see that this person lived a very good life. I'm living 30, 40, 50 years, and I'm observing this person. This person's a tzaddik, and I see the peros. I see he has wonderful children. I see he has simchas achayim. I see that it's kedai, it pays to be a tzaddik. I see hashkocha pratis in mida keneged mida. And I look at this person, a wicked, wicked, ruthless person. It's now 30, 40 years later, and I see the reward, the punishment that he has received. It makes sense. The problem is, it only makes sense 80% of the time. But how do you explain the other 20%? How do you explain this guy, who is a tzaddik, is so just as good as the other person, but things didn't work out for him? And how do you explain this Rasha, he did this and this and this, and yet things worked out? The reason why we are so frustrated in life is because 80% of the time, it does make sense. So we go along for the ride. If it never made sense, if a person lived a life where it's mamish 50-50, see, we don't know where, have a real way to evaluate of how life makes sense. We look at it only from our personal life. But if we lived in a world where nothing ever made sense, this is how Rav Shlomo, I think that's something very, very deep, and what they're saying is very controversial. It's a very controversial idea. But this is basically what Rav Shlomo says. So Rav Shlomo says, he says, you live in life, that's the way I'm interpreting what Rav Shlomo says, doesn't say exactly these words. When you live life, if we lived a life where nothing made any sense, it's chaos, padlock, there's no sense, no wrong, then okay, if you're a religious person, you have a moon of shuta, you're going to leave it for the next world, schar b'hai al-maleka, there's zero reward, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to leave it for the next world, okay, that's a very high madrega, some people can handle it, and some people can't handle it, they fall off. But it's not the way it is. The way most people observe life is it makes sense 75% of the time. 80% of the time, it does make sense. You do get a sense that there is reward for being good, and there is punishment, spiritual punishment, for doing bad. So you go along for the ride. 80% of the time, the train comes on time. If the train's going to come on time, I have an expectation it's going to be there, so you're going to go to the bus stop, you're going to go to the train station to get on the train because you have this expectation. But then, 25% of the time, the train doesn't come in. It doesn't go your way. It's not fair. Doesn't make sense. I'm a religious person. I have a moon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really? Do you really have a moon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you really? Or the reason why you think you have a moon is because since 75% of the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind to you and showed you that things make sense, that's why you're going along for the ride. And now when you find yourself facing the 25% of the time where things don't go the way you like, you're extremely frustrated. If everything was chaos from day one, from day beginning, when the 50% of the things didn't make any sense, okay, that's all part of the deal. If you're a religious person, you have to have the emuna that in this world, there's no schar in this world, and the reward comes in the next world. But we fool ourselves into believing that we're really religious people because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind to us and he allows us to see schar in this world most of the time. And then when the few things don't go work out well, we're extremely frustrated. That really is Eve is all about. Eve, 70 years old. Everything made sense for 70 years. It was a wonderful life. And now he's coming to the end of his life and now this part doesn't make sense. He's extremely frustrated. Here he, according to Rav Shlomo, says, guess what? Most of what Hashem does, man understands. But Chol Devarav, every single thing Hashem says, Lo Ya'aneh. That, Ya'aneh, here he interprets to mean, there is no answer. Everything Hashem does, man is not privy to. Most, you can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu most, but not all the time. Next pasuk, going to Rav Shlomo. Ki ba'achas yidaber kel. Hashem speaks to you once in a while. Achas. He'll tell you something. It'll make sense to you. He'll fill you in on the details. Give you a behind-the-scenes look. But uvishtayim, but with regard to a second matter, or sometimes this can mean even two things. For every one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to you, there are two things in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hide for you. You may know about one secret. One secret will, you know, now I know this, everything makes sense. For every one secret Hashem tells you, there are two secrets He doesn't tell you. And those two secrets, you have to have faith. It makes it that much harder to have faith in those two secrets when he has given you information to the one secret. It's a tease, almost. Sure. It's a tease. If nothing makes sense, nothing makes sense. But once you're teasing me and you're giving me insight and things are making sense to you, a person has a natural inclination, a natural desire to make sense out of everything. And then when Hashem says, sorry, this you'll never know. You're not going to know. That is frustrating. It makes it all the more frustrating, and that is something you, Eev, have to come to understand. That is how Rav Shlomo, not like, this is not what the Mitzvah says. This is a whole different shot. Mitzvah says, Eev, you're making a mistake, Hashem speaks back to you. He replies. He doesn't reply in words, he replies in events. And the psukim, the next two psukim, are going to describe in much more detail the different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed does communicate with man, at least according to the interpretation of the Mitzvot. Hashem does communicate with man. Just pay attention. If you pay close attention, you'll be able to understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's his dialogue. Rav Shlomo, whole new pshat. Hashem, pumfa keret. Hashem is not going to tell you. Hashem, you have to understand. Ki chol devarov lo yane. The emphasis on kol. Not everything in this world is meant for you to understand. Some things yes, some things not. And that's part of what makes it even that more difficult. Be'achas yidaber kel. With regard to one matter, Hashem will speak to you. He'll tell you the secrets. But uvishtayim lo yishurena. But with regard to the second matter, Hashem is not going to show you. Yishurena means to see. He's not going to show you, give you insight to understand why things happen. You have to have faith. It's not all or nothing. That is your mistake, Eof. If you think it's all or nothing, it's not the way it is. There are secrets you get, and there are things that you are denied. Okay, well, stop here.